On today's episode, I have a good friend, founding pastor of Gateway Church, my colleague, John Burke. How are you doing, John?
Good.
Excellent.
Good to be hanging with you.
I know. It's kind of a funny setting. We hang out at Gateway all the time, but here we are on Zoom. Thank you for taking some time to visit with the church leaders that listen to the Post-Christian podcast. Talk about Imagine Heaven, and now imagine the God of Heaven. This was a real critical part of your coming to faith as a young man, near-death experiences, the medical journals. Talk about what you've discovered about heaven over the years and why it's such an important part of what we do at Gateway.
Yeah, I mean, I know that it sounds really weird. And in fact, when I wrote Imagine Heaven in 2015, I told the Lord, okay, you know, this may be the end of my ministry, but here goes. because near-death experiences, which for those who don't, I mean, you've probably heard about it, but I'm talking about when people clinically die, like their heart stops beating, no brain waves, verified sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes hours. And yet either modern medicine, or in some cases, it's just miracle, brings them back. And they talk about a life to come that they say is more real than anything they've ever experienced here. Well, when I was an agnostic, so many, many moons ago, my dad was dying of cancer. I didn't believe in Jesus. I just didn't care about any of it. And then he's dying. Someone gives him the very first research on this. And I read it. I saw it on his bedside table. I read it one night. And hear about, 70 or so people saying the same things when they clinically died. And that just, honestly, it opened my mind to go, man, okay, well, maybe there's evidence about this stuff. And it was a year later that I got into a small group Bible study and started studying the scriptures and came to faith in Christ. For the last 35 years, well, I ended up going from a career in engineering into ministry, but for the last 35 years, I've had this insatiable curiosity, like, what are these near-death experiences and how do they tie to the scriptures? And that's always been my my aim, is to try to figure out how do these tie together. I gave my first evangelistic talk on this at the University of California, Santa Barbara in 1989. So I didn't just this is a hot topic, how can I write a New York Times best-selling book? It wasn't that at all. And the reason I've written this new book after 8 years, I didn't think I was going to write anymore, as you know. And then the Lord made it clear, no, this is what he wants me to do. And really, the book is about God. It's a book about God. It's his story throughout history in scripture, his great love story, his attributes, his character, and how what these people are saying when they come back from clinical death all over the world is they are saying the same things about this God of light and love, who's personal, who knows them, who gives them a life review. Some of them know he's Jesus. They don't have any doubt. Some come back and discover he's Jesus. And I believe that this is God's testimony for such a time as this. I think he is in our age of globally, people are globally connected. So you can hear stories like this all over the world. But what's not being done is bringing it together with God's revelation throughout history and in scripture. And that's what I'm excited about. Yeah. Because, we've seen thousands of people come to faith. People are real open to NDEs. My Hindu neighbors next door, really open to considering NDEs. People aren't always open to heaven or to Christianity. But when they start to see how they tie together, it really helps people see, okay, this is the same God.
It's fascinating. The first book, I have to admit, all those years ago, I was skeptical. I mean, I wasn't sure, NDEs kind of have a bad rap. But what you really have done well is taken what medical science includes in these journals and all these similarities and compared it with the scriptures. And so we've done a sermon series back in 2015 called Imagine Heaven. Then we did What's After Life, happened to be kicking off right as the global pandemic was coming through, which was great for book sales.
God's timing.
For attendance, yeah. But even now, as we start up a new series this week, which I want to encourage you, if you have friends or family that are skeptical, send them to live.gatewaychurch.com at 1 p.m. Central Time the next four Sundays, and you can watch these really amazing messages with interviews and biblical insights. Talk about how you've been able to use this message to such a skeptical world, and maybe even some advice for pastors who might want to do something like this at their church.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing to realize is that this is not a one-off kind of deal. Gallup poll did a survey of Americans years ago, found 1 in 25 had a near-death experience. In 2019, the European Academy of Neurology reported on a study done across 35 countries that found that 5% of people have had a near-death experience when they were close to clinical death or clinically dead.
Wow.
900 scholarly articles have been written by medical professionals on this. So this has convinced many skeptical cardiologists and oncologists and other doctors. There have been Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA articles, The Lancet, Europe's most prestigious journal. And in, you know, now they're always, they're, you know, CNN came out with an article just a month or so ago, and everybody was bombarding me. Hey, did you see this? You know, because yep. CNN's headline was near-death experiences are in the dying brain, study shows. Well, the article didn't even show that. I mean, it was ridiculous clickbait, because if you read the article to the bottom, what they were saying is that when a brain dies, sometimes there's still blips even an hour later as they're doing resuscitation. They're trying to get the body back going. But of the 500 patients they studied, only six had claimed to have an NDE, and none of them had the brain blip. So there was no correlation. But chapter two of this new book, Imagine the God of Heaven, I go through the 10 points of evidence that convince me, and that any alternate theory has to take into account, or they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall, hoping it's not that the soul survives and there really is a God. Mm. And I think as Christians, we got to remember this. We need to be speaking into this biblically, not running away or going, oh, you know, heaven tourism, everybody's trying to make a buck. Just, you know, I've heard it all. But this, I believe, is God at our point of interconnectedness globally, showing that he is the God of all nations, just like Genesis 12 and Revelation 5 tell us, right? The whole story of the Bible is the God blessing all the nations through the Jewish people, through his word, through the Messiah, and ultimately every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping him around the throne. And so, you know, that's what I think we have the opportunity to show. And the world is curious about this, but they don't know how it connects to the God of Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's why I love, you know, what we're doing here at Gateway, what other churches have done by using your book. In fact, 300 churches here in Austin were using your book as a way to introduce the city to this idea of a loving God who creates us for relationship, and that relationship continues after we die. ImagineHeaven.net, you can pick up a free copy of the audiobook with the purchase of the new book, especially if you buy it before it comes out. And I just am so excited about this sermon series at our church. How have you seen other churches use this series? Because you deal with some really difficult topics. I mean, the books talk about hell. Some of these experiences are hellish experiences. And yet there's also Jesus is the only way into this relationship with God? Like, talk about some of the ways you've seen churches use this well.
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of churches that have done sermon series over the years, and I've gone and spoken at a lot of churches. And I mean, I always tell them, look, don't make this just for your church. Tell them, hey, we're going to hear from people tonight who have clinically died and come back. You know, you ever heard of near-death experiences? Everyone I ever talked to is like, oh, yeah, that's fascinating. Well, come. And the church packs out, and we see so many people come to faith by the end, because you're hearing me weaving the scriptures through as you hear the video testimonies of these people, and they're credible people. That's the other thing. They're surgeons. They're, you know, they're commercial airline pilots. They're lawyers. You know, nurses. I mean, they don't have anything to gain making up crazy stories like this. And so we have, you know, other churches have used our video clips and basically also taught it themselves, like, you know, like I have. What I'm super excited about, Eric, of this new book, Imagine the God of Heaven, is that God brought me stories from every continent and every religious background. So you can go download the first three chapters out on imagineheaven.net. Or you can go to imaginethegodofheaven.com, either one. But you can download the first three chapters. And in that, there's a Hindu engineer who dies, and this brilliant God of light takes him to this place where he is looking out over, describing this giant compound, thousands of miles square, beautiful, tall, high walls inside. He calls them mansions, big buildings of otherworldly material, just gorgeous, he said. And I longed to go in. And then he said, and there were 12 gates. And he says, you know, your eyesight is like telescopic there, which is a commonality of indie ears, which Christians might go, oh, that's just very New Agey. Except, remember in Revelation 21, John is taken in the spirit to a very high mountain and looks out over the holy city, and somehow from a very high mountain reads the names on the foundation stones and over the gate. And so this is what they commonly say. It's like your eyesight's telescopic. So he counts these 12 gates and says it's a square city, thousands of miles in size. And then he looks at the nearest gate and he sees angels guarding it. And all the gates are closed to him. And he realizes, I'm looking at the kingdom of heaven. And he desperately wants to go in. Anyway, the story goes on as he sees who he now believes is Jesus on his throne. But he just knew this is Almighty God. And the Lord says, he gets a vision of hell first. Then he sees this. He gets a life review, and he's just saying, forgive me, Lord, because he sees all his sins. And then he sees what he calls a very narrow gate open to him into the kingdom of heaven. That was the only gate open, this very narrow gate. And this is a Hindu guy saying this. He didn't even know. He was describing it as a giant compound. And, you know, you and I have been to India. There are compounds, walled compounds everywhere.
Yeah.
He's describing the holy city in the book of Revelation, and he comes back and he comes to faith in Jesus.
Wow.
I have another Hindu anesthesiologist, chief anesthesiologist of the Bakersfield Heart Hospital, who also has a hellish experience, cries out for forgiveness, is taken, he said, by two Christian angels to this God of light and love who gives him a life review. And he later again sees that God, who he said, I had a feeling maybe he was Jesus. And this brilliant God of light, he asks him, who are you, Lord? This is like Paul on the Damascus Road, right? Paul was killing Christians when this God of light appears to him.
That's right.
So Rajiv says, who are you, Lord? And out of the light, he says, steps Jesus in a robe with a beard and says, I'm Jesus, your savior. And he falls to his knees. A Rwandan imam, almost same story, and sees Jesus rescue him. A woman in Tehran, who she told me this through a translator. She was telling me in Farsi. She sees the same God she's describing as the glorified Jesus, who she now believes, And he says to her, I am he who is.
Wow.
Same words as Moses. So on and on and on. I mean, there are these stories from all over the world. And what I'm trying to do in this, and what I think pastors can do, is show that God has always been the God of all nations. And who these people are describing is the same God of love and compassion and mercy that he talks to Moses about in Exodus 34, right? But also a God of justice. And they talk about that. Santosh talks about he's very holy. And what's that holiness like? I got another neurologist who died. And in God's presence, he's describing his holiness. And he said it was purity and innocence, but not like we think of purity and innocence. In light of what I was experiencing, I saw what I'm not.
Wow.
I'm not that. That's what he said. And so you hear these people talk about the mysteries and the majesty of God, the wonders of God, and even the Trinity. So how do you explain a Jewish girl, you know, and an agnostic who are shown and describe the triune God, but in words that they said in there, it makes sense.
Wow.
Here it doesn't make sense to us, but there, the question, how can three be one, doesn't even come up. It's not a question.
Wow.
And now let me address this, because, you know, Christians will be like, well, are you talking about universalism? No. What we're talking about, remember, you know, the Lord Jesus appeared as a brilliant, blinding light to Saul, when he was not a believer, right?
Yeah.
And something else to note, Jesus does not tell him what to do. He says, go to the city, you'll be told. And then he sends Ananias. And so a lot of people have a problem that this God of light and love, people feel in unconditional love. They just feel like they are so loved by him. They also get a life review where they see very clearly their kind, loving deeds and their sins very clearly. And they're very convicted. But he's loving them. And people get confused by that. But that is who God is. He is love. He can't not love the children he created, even if they choose to reject him. And so just because an NDE sees God, that doesn't mean they're right with him.
Yeah.
You know, Revelation 1:7 says, every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. So I think these are just testimonies that God is giving. And by the way, this is also not the crossing over into eternity. You know, Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for mankind to die once, and then comes the judgment. Yeah. And I quote in Imagine the God of Heaven, where sometimes Jesus is telling them, you haven't died yet, you have to go back.
Mm.
But they had no brainwaves. So it was clinical death, but it was not eternal death. And there was also a commonality I reported in Imagine Heaven, that there's a border or a boundary that these people who have NDEs knew they can't cross and still come back.
Wow.
So I think that's the crossing over. And I think that's why so many of them could cry out for forgiveness still and still be rescued, still be saved. They were coming back.
That's amazing. Well, I can't wait to listen and or read the new book. Thank you for the ways you're helping us get the message about Jesus out there. Love teaming with you all these years. Excited for this next season. Thank you so much, John.
No, thanks, Eric.